Yes, but also cannot stop thinking.
Buddha didn't say stop thinking at all. Remember what he said, all dhammas are anatta. Keep it in mind and you will never be lost by your own thinking or wrong understanding.
I know that the object of thinking is always concept, but it seems as if when there is discussion of realities, the thinking seems to be different. Is that just because it is less familiar than if we are just talking about people and
all things? Dhammas are very difficult to understand. We can understand the name, the meaning, but not the reality itself. For example, one moment of seeing, a process of seeing, followed by many jittas, including thinking, before one can know what it is. So now, always think, ever see. In short, when we don't talk about the details of each jitta, followed one another. And what is more, seeing or thinking? Thinking. That's why there is no understanding of seeing as it is, because thinking follows instantly about other things.
Maybe thinking helps to understand about seeing?
Mm-hmm. It depends on how much you understand it, directly or just from thinking. And even right now.
Even right now. So one moment we want more of one kind of thinking, and next moment we wonder why we can't have less thinking. But thinking just goes on and on. But if a person has a strong interest in the Dhamma, it's obviously real good, then it's going to condition that interest, is going to condition thinking about what one is doing. There doesn't have to be any additional strategy for considering. Because we have an interest, we're going to think about what we're doing. We don't, it's just that it may not always be apparent how much reflection there is in the day when we go about our normal daily life.
So the interest is the strategy.
Built-in strategy. Comes with the package.
So, what to do to have it?
We have it. That's why we're here. And then when there's more reflecting, conditioned by that interest, then there's more interest too. Because it confidence grows as we understand more and more, but it doesn't have a snowball effect. It's just a very gradual accumulation. So if we're starting from a low base in this lifetime, then it's going to be a low base for the whole of this life. But that's quite irrelevant.
No need to think about what to do at all.
Now you understand? It's different from moments before that there's no understanding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Little by little.
Less sweat and less tense when I keep
thinking about why don't I...
Excuse me, who keep? Just to learn to understand that what we take for self of things are only different realities, that's all. Like seeing is not me, not I, not anyone. Seeing is just seeing. Thinking is thinking.
Sometimes remember, sometimes no.
That's why it should be object of understanding too. Sanyakhanda.
It seems like because there is so much clinging to oneself, there's a kind of fear that if there isn't, keep on thinking about the Dhamma or remembering it all the time, or if one plays loud music or something, that somehow there will be no understanding or no kusala. But I think it's just all motivated by the very strong clinging to idea of self, which conditions this kind of fear or worry or makes one think, have to keep thinking in a particular way.
Are you thinking?
No.
Are you sure?
Good. So no doubt about thinking, because thinking thinks.
Yes. And just said yes in theory, but actually, in fact, there's always I think and I do.
Until Panya develops enough to know better and better.
However the thinking thinks at this moment, whether it's wisely or unwisely about Dhamma or not about Dhamma, it's just conditioned reality. It can just be understood as another conditioned reality, just a moment of thinking, not minding about what it's thinking about at that time. Otherwise one's obsessed by the story again.
Yeah, yeah. Like this morning at breakfast, we talked about thinking so much about one's own worry and trouble. And then you said you have no time, you have no time for this, very little time, and it would be helpful if you could elaborate a little on this.
No time to think that I am seeing.
No time to think that I am seeing, or I am thinking. Right. Even thinking, right. Or worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's apt to arise by conditions.
By conditions. So remember that it's not me, only realities.
With object.
Right. Because citta, that which experiences, arises, so it experiences an object. No one there.
But sometimes I think like it's just by conditions. Pachayas do like that and do like it, but then we kind of fall into the other extreme that we don't want to do anything, just
by conditions again.
No need to read Dhamma or anything.
It depends on how much the understanding one gets from reading and considering. Just the same word. On the same page. Like seeing, see. It sounds very simple, but how much one understands it as just a moment.
most important is the understanding.
Right. Mm-hmm. Many people think about sati awareness, but that's not right, because at moment of kusala or understanding is there.
Always by conditions, whether we, and at moments when we think it's not, it's ignorance and ditti playing a part and wrong view, but it's always by conditions.
And Ajahn, I'm thinking about the Dhamma Sanghani, the second triplet. There was the Dhammas with pleasant feeling, I remember unpleasant feeling, the Dhammas with unpleasant feeling and indifferent. So we can say even that when we think, that's also some thoughts are accompanied by pleasant feeling, some by unpleasant, mm-hmm. and some by indifferent.
Feeling arises with each moment of citta.
And there is also an object then. And no matter whether this is the pleasant experience, yeah. unpleasant, mm-hmm. or...
Even while one is fast asleep. Whenever there is citta, there must be an object which is experienced by that citta.
And the characteristic of Vedana, that moment, this is a taste of an object or what?
Anything.
By Vedana?
Mm-hmm. Except the body... consciousness is accompanied by pleasant or unpleasant feeling. It cannot be indifferent feeling. And it cannot be mental unpleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. It has to be bodily feeling.
When there is touching.
Touching, yes.
But when there is thinking.
Thinking is not touching.
Yeah, it's not. It's also the citta.
Citta experiences from birth to death.
But actually that the body doesn't pain, because it's just the feeling, bodily feeling. But what pains a lot, it's this somanasa and domanasa vedana in later. That's very painful sometimes. When I'm, for example, in a big sadness, then I... totally suffering, lost control of everything and just suffer. And I cannot change this sorrow or sadness.
But not bodily.
That's not bodily.
Not bodily, but I mean the mentally, domanasa, yeah.
So which one can you endure?
Endure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the easier to endure is body feeling, bodily feeling.
Some are like that.
Which is the dart that should be removed?
A dart?
Error.
It's the dosa, loba and avijja. But when there is just a thinking, because that was said in the Dhamma Sanghani, the Vedana that comes with all Dhammas that comes with pleasant Vedana, that comes with unpleasant Vedana, and all Dhammas that comes with indifferent Vedanas. So my point was just the moment of thinking, because we can think wholesome way, unwholesome way. And we can both also think, can we say that we think with pleasant feeling also accompanied, I pleasant feeling, and indifferent, and that's just element.
How many cittas arise with a moment of citta?
Oh, it's Vedana, Sanya.
Yes, yeah, so there must be pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Either one.
And what conditions? You talk about all the great thinking with unpleasant feeling and the painful feeling and so on. What conditions it, all that dosa and unpleasant feeling?
That's for me the point is because it happens, it may happen.
But
like
what is the cause of it?
Conditions are
what,
cause for that, because it's still a conditioned thing to arise.
What in particular conditions it?
It's sankhara dhamma.
Attachment.
Or the proximate cause of feeling. You remember that?
No.
Yes.
And yeah, that's true. But my point was now, because we live our life and we learn about the realities and the worlds, and my point, Ajahn, is because we think we experience unpleasant situation or pleasant situation, but my point was this is a good reminder to, it is not just Vedana that is there and that can feel sad, unpleasant or pleasant. And this is from Dhamma Sanghani, the second Tika, as I remember.
It says that it's Vedana, not you.
Yes, that says like
so,
this.
So, right understanding can understand that moment of Vedana as just a reality.
So no particular effort to try to know, oh, this is Vedana,
no,
just
no,
natural.
No.
But then if we don't consider or...
We are considering Jetasikas.
But for example, when we do like this, now I'm listening to Dhamma, but if there would be no possibility to listen to Dhamma, I would probably listen to the music or swimming in the pool.
Again,
see?
By conditions.
And this is the same kind of understanding to
thinking now is conditions too. Hmm? Thinking now is conditions.
Yes, it is. All kinds of thinking with all kinds of chetasikas.
And how long does dosa
and
domanasa
last?
When domanasa rises, how long does it last?
It's just 7 moments.
Only a moment.
1 moment. So when there's playing the music and swimming and moments of seeing and hearing, no unpleasant feeling. So it's just a moment, just a dhamma that lasts for a moment and then gone. But we attach so much importance to it, and it's my dosa because it's unpleasant and we find it so important, but actually it's just a dhamma that lasts a moment and then gone.
Yeah.
But it arises again. That is our problem.
Arises again and again.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then it's even that we can learn this is our tendency to do like this, or this arises again and again.
Yeah.
And again, what was the kind of condition? Anantara upanishaya pachaya. Again and again.
Yeah.
The.
Pagatu upanishaya pachaya.
But Ajahn says to us, we could see it as just a Dhamma, so maybe we need to hear it again and again, to hear that as a reminder.
Yes.
To otherwise we forget, we think it's so important that it's just a Dhamma, and it's hard to really accept that.
Accept or understand.
And understand especially. Yeah.
Have you walked into this on the dam?
And we talk a lot about kanti.
Yeah.
And we talk about pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling. Does it have anything to do concerning kanti?
You know kanti, the Pali term. Patience.
Yeah.
Some people say tolerance.
Endurance or patience.
To unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling.
That's a good aspect to remember, that we have to be patient. Can you explain a little more?
Having understanding that it doesn't belong to anyone, it's gone. It's a kind of patience.
It's a kind of patience. So we need to hear that a lot.
Yeah. And there's also kantiyana too.
Yeah, I heard it there. Jnana, there's understanding.
Yeah.
Is that understanding of patience or understanding conditioned by patience?
Endure to understand whatever appears.
Yeah.
Patient to understand.
As not self, not and
self.
Not permanent.
Yeah. Is it a state? Is it
a stage of Vipassana jnana, Kantijnana. When is it? When, which?
There are 3 degrees of Kantijnana.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't talk about it. Or what? It's so far. Okay. The first one to Sammasana jnana is the Kanti of lower degree, lowest, very weak, or weaker than others. The weaker one, is the Namarupa Parichetta jnana up to Sammasana jnana. The direct experience of the arising and falling away of realities in succession. So it takes time to be patient to everything, to know, to understand that they are all dhammas. Otherwise, no time at all, in no matter how many lives, to realize that it's no self, only nama and rupa. And they're quite different. And the second one is from Sammasana jnana to Uttiyappaya jnana. See?
Yes.
Far from Sammasana jnana to Uttiyappaya jnana. It seems like just after Sammasana jnana it's followed by Uttiyappaya jnana. But it takes quite a long, long time for Panya to be just Panya only, which can understand that, can experience that. And the highest one is the from Sammasana jnana to Uttiyappaya jnana, and this the last one is Uttiyappaya jnana to Sankharupekha jnana.
Yes.
And from Sankharupekha jnana to Anuloma jnana.
Just before enlightenment, yeah.
So that's also
intuitive. Yes. From Sammasana jnana to Uttiyappaya jnana, from Uttiyappaya jnana to Sankharupekha jnana, and from Sankharupekha jnana to Anuloma jnana.
So the last one is fourth?
No, not including the first one.
Not including enlightenment?
Not including Namarupa to Sammasana jnana, because all these 3 are Taruna Vipassana jnana.
Yes. It shows the long way
of Kanti.
Mm-hmm. And if there isn't a beginning to develop patience now with pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling realities appear now, it can never grow, never develop.
Yeah. I'm very glad to this aspect of Kanti. Very helpful. So I still have to consider it. The long way, even from Sammasana jnana to Uttiyappaya jnana, it seems one step in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But we also learn that there are the defilements of Vipassana, that you still can go the wrong way, and clinging to the calm and the insight. And all that has to be penetrated by Panya, so that the next moment can arise, the next jnana or insight.
So one can see how great Panya is when it's developed. What we are talking about can be discerned by Panya. Different levels. Any level of understanding is Panya, intellectual Panya, direct understanding, and the realization of reality as it is also Panya.
But jnana is
the same meaning, jnana and Panya. But if we don't use the different words, we might think that they are the same, but actually it's the different levels.
Here, when she's referring to jnana,
it's jnana as in vipassana jnana, so this is
inside higher knowledge,
higher degrees of panya, understanding of realities.
Ajahn, I would like to know that what is the condition for the bhajatra, bhajana, chitta, shuras?
The previous chitta.
Only that, only one kind of condition.
And object.
And object. Okay.
And other chitta seekers.
And other chitta seekers. Yeah. Because I'm just, okay, so the object is the important one, because otherwise the bhavanga chitta could be followed by another bhavanga chitta. So the, one of the most important conditions is the object.
Passa conditions, seeing or hearing, depending on passa, by conditions and by karma as well. Whether it will produce result in what way, seeing or hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. No choice.
So that means when the rupa, which is visible objects, it conditioned the seeing, affecting consciousness.
Karma conditioned the seeing to experience the present object.
And also something about the three kinds of bhavanga chittas in the first moments of the five sense door process, because they have different names, but is there any meaning about these different names, or just to show
what are the different names?
The Atita Bhavanga Chitta, and then Bhavanga Kalana
Chalana,
and then Bhavanga Upachitta.
Different moments. First, second, last.
Mm-hmm. So the one chitta is exactly the same.
And the objects are exactly the same, but it's just indicating the order before that sense door process.
Because when in the case of the very short course, for example, where there are only the object, the rupa, which arises and is not experienced by the any vitichitas at all, is it said that there are some moments of Atita Bhavanga Chitta and then some moments of Chara Bhavanga? So why they have to say some moment of this and some moment of this? You see my question?
There is always stream of Bhavanga, right? And no other object appear at moment of Bhavanga. But when it's time to experience an object through one doorway, the last moment of Bhavanga ended up, it conditioned the next moment to be vitichitta. When it's not the last one, it cannot condition the vitichitta, right? So we just talk about the stream of Bhavanga. When will it finish to experience the other object through other doorway? Like when it's Atita Bhavanga, it cannot condition vitichitta, because it indicates that the rupa arises at that moment and extends to the 17th moment, so that it will fall away. Just to know the length or the lifetime of rupa, how long it lasts, only 17 moments. So at any time, bhavanga, 17 moments, we didn't have to use atita. But when we talk about atita bhavanga, the first one and the bhavanga jalana before the last one, and bhavanga upachitta, and then the panchadvara vachana, seeing, sampatichana, sandhya, it ends at the tatharampana moment. That's all.
I understand it in the context of the full course, or even at the course where it's finished with the bhutapanna. but in the case of the very short course, so only the Bhavan Vajitas. So why bother describing it at all? Because then there's no Vitichitta arising at all. Because
so not necessary, not necessary to think about it?
Because you're just writing
Pawanka, pawanka, pawanka.